And
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince with Von Figley with Tammy Allman and Cindy Rivera. And it's Monday, July 30th. Fun stuff at the weekend. The first ever nationwide race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, of course, the Brickyard 400 was run yesterday as well. The NHRA was out of the second leg of their Western Swing in Sonoma, California. And the Truck Series was off. And I guess that's about pretty much what we got to talk about. Tammy, I know you were out of Grandview for a while, then rains came, I guess, what, Saturday night?
Yeah, we got about two laps done in the first heat of the night for the late models, and that was about it. So we'll try to get this week.
You weren't there long.
Well, actually, I got there a little bit earlier than normal this week. I was talking to Ernie. I'm hoping that maybe they'll do something for Fan Fest for the fans coming in for the 76. I know I've had a lot of people asking if they're going to be doing anything. A lot of our fans are saying, you know, what are they going to have? Are they going to have anything for us to do during the day? Because I don't think most people realize the weekend of the Freedom 76, so people start camping there early in the week for this race. And as crowded as it's been up there, you're going to have to do it because I don't think there's going to be any parking as full as it's been for some of these special races. I mean, there's $50,000 on the line that night for the winner alone.
I know.
That place is going to be packed. It is. That's a huge pot for these guys.
Now,
you know,
what is that?
That is the second weekend of September.
Okay. It's not this coming week because I know you, you'll be going to Pocono.
Yeah, I'll be at Pocono this week, but I'll be at Grandview tomorrow night. We have traffic jams, so let's knock on wood that some of these storms don't pop up like they're calling for already for tomorrow night so we can see the big blocks and the sportsmen's running up there.
Ah, the big blocks. They're always fun.
Yep.
Sportsmen are fun, too, but you try to hit the big blocks with that. Actually, I'm surprised they still run big blocks. I mean, nobody makes a big block anything anymore as far as street cars go. NASCAR hasn't run a big block since the 70s. The only thing running any kind of a big block is the NHRA with the 500 cubic inches. You know, the Pro Stocks run a 500 cubic incher, and the Nitro cars run them as well. John Force has Force Racing has developed the Ford Boss 500. But that's a whole different animal there, going from maybe 750 to 1,000 horsepower in a Pro Stock to 8,000 horsepower in a Nitro car. So that would be pretty interesting. I mean, even to get to see a big block in a vehicle somewhere, just get on out to Grandview and hopefully they'll get some action in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, traffic jam. It's one of the – I look forward to the weeknight shows and everything like that because you get so many drivers coming in. I know Mikey Guler's already registered for tomorrow night. Dwayne Howard is going to be up there. It's going to be a great night of racing.
And the fact that they run during the week, or is this just being postponed from the other night that they're running it during the week?
This is one of the Thunder on the Hill special series. This is one of the races where last time I took pictures when I was up there for the last one that they did with the sprint cars and everything up there. And it was standing room only. So get there early tomorrow night. Make sure you get a seat. It's going to be a great show, and you don't want to miss out.
And it's a fun night. Head by all.
It is. Yep. It's going to be lots of fun. It's summertime, so kids don't have to get up to go to school in the morning. You know, it's worth being a little tired at work in the morning after seeing a show like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then at least this way I guess you got the chance to watch the Brickyard 400. I did get a chance to see the Indy 250 or the Brickyard 250, as they called it, with the Nationwide Series. Of course, thanks to DirecTV, I was able to tape the light. That's why I was out Saturday night for an event at a local place, and I was able to watch it when I get home. And earlier in the day, the NBS Racing blog, I think it was Floyd posted up, who's going to win the inaugural. And everybody picked the usual suspects, and I went Brad Kay. And sure enough, Brad Keselowski take home the trophy.
You know, I'm saying, well, come on. I wanted people to win. They didn't.
But he said, you know, I'd included the Truck Series guys and Cup guys that were running, and good old Brad Keselowski finished first. And Sam Hornes Jr. finished second. So it was a Team Penske day on Saturday, and it was a pretty interesting race. You know, the first time these guys are out there, and Danica Patrick wound up getting wrecked. She ran into the back of the 98 car, got him sideways. That was Reed Sorensen. And he corrected to come back up, but she went high to try to go around him, so he just gathered her up and carried her into the wall.
I'm afraid for next year. I'm really afraid for next year.
Why?
Yeah.
With her running the full-time Cup Series next year, she's not ready.
She's not ready.
No. As a matter of fact, all you Johanna Long fans out there, or anti-Danica fans, Johanna did finish ahead of Danica by 5 places and was on the race.
Yay!
She was on the track at the end of the race. So. And only wound up, let me see, 10 laps down. But, you know, with an underfunded team like that, it was kind of tough when you're trying to keep up. I mean, of course, our friend of the show, TJ Bell, was actually in the first ever inaugural nationwide race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he didn't do too good either. You know, and then again, you know, the teams that finish up front did have the most money, or the ones that have the most money. The interesting thing that I'm seeing is Ty Dillon was in the 51 car, and he finished better than Austin, who was in the 3 car. Now, Ty runs a Truck Series. He's a Truck Series rookie, and Austin's a Nationwide rookie. Yet the younger brother beat the older brother.
Yeah, isn't he going full? Isn't he doing a full ride next year for Nationwide?
He might be. So this is one of the starts.
I think I am correct. I'm going to pull that up and find out.
Yeah, because I think Austin might be. I don't know if Childress is going to run both of them in Nationwide next year, or if he thinks Austin is going to be ready enough to move up to the Cup Series. But but that 51 car is normally Jeremy Clements' number, and Clements was in the number 4 car. So I wonder what happened there. Jeremy Clements, Nationwide regular, and we have to give a shout-out to him now because he did finish 10th. We ought to be able to get him on the show.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on one of these weeks.
I did meet him at Dover, was it last year, when we were hanging around with TJ and all that, and Tracy was telling us, you know, the people that all stick together, it's usually him and them and the little group of single-car teams. And for somebody who's a single-car team, he's doing pretty well for himself as far as being able to hang in there every week. But to come, you know, to him finishing 10th at the Brickyard, it's probably almost like a win, you know? Considering all the guys. I mean, all the guys in front of him are big names from Cup guys, and the only other one that isn't is Ty Dillon, who came up in the Truck Series, and, you know, he's got good equipment. And Austin Dillon, who's the only other Nationwide regular. Everybody else was a Cup guy. Keselowski, Hornish, Hamlin. Oh, Michael Annette's a regular. A good run for the 43 car, finished at 6th. Joey Logano and Paul Menard and Stenhouse, who's a Nationwide regular. He's been having a tough year after winning a championship last year. He's been up in the points at the top and down at the bottom. And I guess this year, it's going to be, it's coming down to between him and Elliott Sadler. And Sadler had a problem with a penalty.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty.
He was none too happy about it. And Travis Pastrana actually finished the race and won without wrecking the car.
You know, I feel bad for him because that's what he does. You know, I mean, he would get paid to wreck stuff. You can't do that here.
I mean, he's just—he drives out so far out on the edge because he's just a extreme sports.
He's extreme sports,
and I guess he was able to reel it in and wheel the 99 into the 13th place, which is pretty good. I'm surprised at how many cars wound up on the lead lap there at the Brickyard with, being stretched out. Last car was Eric McClure, and it's good to see him back in the car after that, the wild wreck he took a few months ago.
Hey, Vince, I have the Dylan information.
Okay, go ahead.
Dylan will run full nature. Huh?
It's a Cindy in our newsroom.
Yes, in the newsroom, reporting live from 72312, Jayski. Thank you very much, Jayski. Dylan will run full nationwide season in 2013. Richard Childress is in no rush to push grandson, Austin Dylan, into full-time Sprint Cup competition. I've seen too many young guys come along and get moved up too quick. Childress said Sunday at Chicagoland Speedway, where Dylan finished sixth in the STP 300. We don't want to do that. So Dylan battling teammate Elliot Sadler atop the year's point standings can expect another full ride. I guess it really didn't say the same sort of plan is for Ty as well. We'll run him in two years in truck and then move him up. So what I read was still about Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon will stay another season in Nationwide, and Ty will stay in another season in Cup.
Well, that's the right way to do it. Get these guys in there and groom them to get the seat time, get familiarity, get used to competing at a different level, and then move them on up.
Right.
Austin Dillon last year kicked the tail in the truck series, and so it was, I guess, having him in the truck series another year probably wouldn't have helped him, but now at least with 2 years in the Nationwide series, that he'll have a chance to grow and get better. It's not that he's doing too bad, but, he's racing against a mixture of Cup guys and Nationwide guys as well. And with the Cup Series competition, those guys, they're the best drivers in the sport, and the race against them builds up your confidence, or it could break you. I mean, poor Joey Logano didn't have much time in the Nationwide Series when Tony Stewart left to fill the 20-car seat. That I think that's right now in the Nationwide Series. He's not running for points, but he's showing more competitiveness and have won a lot more races down there than he did up at Pocono. I only said that because he won Pocono the last time in June. But in the Cup Series, he still hasn't, had the consistency.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, Vince, on that.
Okay.
He's running consistent, in the Nationwide. I just think that he's been in Cup too long to turn around and do the consistency in Nationwide. I don't like how that happens. Everyone knows my opinion on that. It's nothing but sandbagging. Woohoo, we got a win for Nationwide, but I've been driving Cup for 4 years.
Well, another guy, not to disagree with you, Cindy, Elliot Sadler, who's been in the Cup Series and never really has done all that well, went back down to the Nationwide Series to where he feels more comfortable in.
Yeah, You've made a point. But was he really at the level that Joey Logano at one point was at? I'm just wondering if, Joey is now wanting to go down to the Nationwide and try to pick himself up, because at one point he was doing extremely well in the Cup Series.
He was doing
and
okay.
Now he's not.
He won't go extremely well. We'll say okay.
I think he was doing pretty well.
I think he was rushed up because of the void of the seat in the 20 car. I mean, he's only been in the Cup Series, what? Tony Stewart left, a couple years ago, and you're both big Tony Stewart fans. And I don't think Tony liked driving Toyotas myself. he left to join up with Haas Racing to form a team that in 2 years won a championship.
Right.
And that just shows you the type of talent Tony has, to take a team that barely made the races and put them on the top. Logano didn't have much grooming time. I mean, he won his was K&N Series East. It was called something else a few years ago before he came up. The last race at Dover, he claimed his title. And right then and there, he was running. They did move him up to Nationwide in the year, and he still hadn't come to grips with that series. And then the year after that, he had to come up to Cup. So I think he would have done well if Joe Gibbs would have groomed him in the Nationwide series, maybe a year, a second year. But he had a seat to fill, and I'm sure he didn't want to sign in a full-time guy when he had a guy coming up, and figured, they called Joey Logano sliced bread, but when he had when he had him in there, and I think that's one
and
of
now,
the things.
And now they're calling him toast.
That's called toast to toast bread.
I'm so sorry. That just kind of popped into my head.
I was going to say when he wrecked and caught fire the other day, so it's burnt toast now.
Yeah. All right, but why would they call him sliced bread?
Because he was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
So he was doing extremely well. You said, well, not extremely well. They wouldn't have called him sliced bread if otherwise.
Well, he was kicking tail in the K&N Pro East, and his next venture should have been up to Nationwide. Gibbs doesn't really run a truck team.
Right.
So he would have had a – it would have done him good to spend a couple years there. Let's give him a shout-out.
I do agree.
Let's give a shout-out there. The number is 646-649-1899. Anybody – to all the listeners, you want to chime in on this debate, feel free to call. We'll be with you for the next hour or so and a half, two maybe. And
depends how heated it gets, right?
And see how heated it gets. But
call in.
Hey,
it's a challenge.
I'm issuing a gauntlet to our listeners out there to join us on the air. Pull out of the chat room. Come on live with us, and we'll discuss this.
We got any callers, Tammy?
Not yet.
Not yet. I know. I just said that. Because I'm chomping at the bit to argue here. but isn't it much funner to argue with other people that you don't normally argue with? Come on. Let's just get it out there.
I like arguing. Come on, Tracy.
Where's Tracy? All the NBS guys out there that sit there and go back and forth daily? Come and join us on Garage Talk Live, 646-649-1899.
They're too busy trying to find me the rope to save me because I'm still holding down the tail end of the thing in their fantasy league thing. So they're trying to find the rope to save me. I'm drowning desperately without the lifeline.
Well, let's, while we're waiting, and this might prompt people to call, The All and Mighty, what happened to him this weekend?
Who's that?
The domineer of the track. Everything about Indy has to do with Jeff Gordon. And, I put the highest, he was, fourth. There was 20 laps to go. He was sixth. And then next thing you know, he's still finished in the top 10, but what happened?
Jimmy had a better car.
Jimmy, I'm telling you what, on that restart, I looked away, I looked back, and he had a 2.63 lead.
Yeah.
I mean, within a tenth of a second. How was that possible? I mean, he was gone. And what Kyle Busch said, he was in his own country.
You know,
when they interviewed Kyle, he says, he wasn't even... he wasn't even in this time zone. He was in his own country.
Right.
He
Kyle
just
had
took
a
off.
Too. And,
he did?
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's why I finished second, if I think he ran any better. But Jimmy Johnson led, 250 miles? didn't see how many laps he laps was. 99 laps.
Was it,
so if he would,
was it 99 laps?
He led 99 of the 160 laps. So, and most of that wasn't all that early either, because that Hamlin, who started from the pole, led 27 laps, and then Keselowski led 22. And then Keselowski's team was playing a pit strategy that if he didn't get killed on a late pit stop, it might have worked because he was off sequence with all of them. And then a late caution came out. And Keselowski did have a problem with the restart. He didn't, I guess, he lost grip and went up the track a bit, and every about a dozen cars went past him. So he had to make ground back up.
Right.
So, you know, but those were the biggest lap leaders. The only double-digit lap leaders were Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Jimmy Johnson. And then once Johnson got the lead,
yeah,
he pretty much ran away with it. Well, we have a new points leader, too, that Dale Jr., who has actually completed every lap of every race this year.
Get a load of that. Get a load of that. Yeah.
Has moved into the points lead due to Matt Kenseth getting involved in a wreck. Kenseth winding up 35th. Kind of gave helped Jr. along there. I mean, neither of those two guys led a lap. Now Junior's up by, we'll say, 14 points. Yeah, 14 points. So that, and with the point scale, can that change this weekend? Going to Pocono? Indy and Pocono are both kind of flat. They're both 2.5 miles, except one's got four corners, the other's got three. They run the same tire there. So it should pretty much be the same type of thing. And for the first time this year, second time this year, Pocono's a 400-mile race instead of a 500-mile. So at least, hey, Tammy, you'll be getting out of there a little earlier.
Yeah, if Mother Nature cooperates.
Right.
Mother Nature cautions, wrecks. Yeah, anything and anything can happen up there. So, yeah, I don't see me getting out early.
Well, what, now, in June, or, yeah, in June, right after the, it wasn't too bad, was it, the shorter race?
It wasn't bad. I would say the traffic was okay. I know I've got a really, really crazy schedule this weekend.
Yeah, you do.
I do, because I actually will be coming back in time for Grandview, so I've got a really crazy schedule.
You're going all the way back down on Saturday?
I am. I'm going up Friday, coming back down Saturday. I'm taking the bike up, so look for my Harley. Just don't tip it over. the Harley's going to its first race, so... yeah, we're going to load up all the equipment and the computers and everything and take the Harley up on Friday and then putz back down to Grandview for Saturday night and be back up there Sunday.
Can I ask you a question?
Huh?
If you're worried about the weather, why are you taking the Harley?
Because it's cheaper.
Thank you, Ben.
Because it's cheaper on gas, $7 versus $60.
Yeah, not even the big plastic saddlebags you can shove stuff in.
I have a big luggage bag, and then I have a brand-new camera bag that's going to be used for all the cameras and everything to get them up. So between the luggage bag and the camera bag, I should be able to get everything up there that I need to get up there for the 2 days. Should, hopefully.
How about a tank?
Hopefully.
Just a
tank. No, I'm going to go visit Glenn.
Okay.
We're good on that.
Is Tammy Ray going?
She is going, yes.
Oh, okay. Tell her hi for me, I don't know, Cindy, you probably haven't met Tammy Ray yet. So somebody we met down at Dover, and her and Tammy, and it gets confusing because there's Tammy Ray, and at Dover there was Tammy who worked behind the PR desk.
Yep.
Lots of Tammys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, you want to think it's more strange. I know this is off the beaten path. There's those three Tammys right there. And I met a Tammy who used to be assistant PR director at Nashville, who I've known for a number of years. And I met somebody last weekend at a party named Tammy, who spells it totally different, T-A-M-I. So I know that's five Tammys. As a matter of fact, my wife was you're collecting them.
Who would have ever thought there would be so many Tammys in the world? Huh?
Well, see, I could go by my other nickname, but that's already taken, so I can't use that. I can only use that at my local tracks.
What is it?
That's my initials.
Oh, T-A?
No, the middle name.
T-J.
Uh-huh. That's what they all call me at the local track, so yeah.
Yeah, you can't, you know, I would be so confused.
I know, so I'd be confused if I did that.
You know, I mean, I would say, someone would say, who are you talking to, TJ? Tell him I said hi. No, no, not that one.
See, we
not
can confuse everybody.
Yeah, that would really confuse everyone.
Yeah, I had my crew shirt on the other night, and they're all looking at it. I'm like, yeah, that's mine. That's what I go by.
Yeah. Well, we're expecting a call shortly, I believe.
Would that be Wayne?
That would be Wayne.
Yay!
Good. Well, you have to introduce.
I'm going to owe him lots of cookies.
Yes.
That sounds dirty.
You know, he just texted me, and he says, just a minute, he's letting his nails dry first.
Oh, is he one of them mani-pedi kind of guys?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to him last night, and I know he's, you know, already in Iowa with the hauler, and he said, hold on. He said, hold on, let me get my recliner out.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right, Nationwide, yeah. Going up to Iowa this week?
Yes. Yes, the Mace Motorsports is, hauler is already there. They went ahead and left. You know, Wayne went ahead and just took the car on up there, you know, just to get it all prepared and ready to go. So
I was going to say, it's kind of early. Don't they have to, don't they usually have to be there like Thursday or something?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so, you know, just, again, you know, like Tammy taking the Harley, I think it's just all about, you know, fuel consumption now.
Yeah.
You know, what is it, $800 to fill up, you know, the truck, you know, to pull that hauler. That's just to fill it up.
Wow. That's pretty solid. 200 gallons.
You know, well, I guess when Wayne gets on, we can ask him how many, you know, what's the capacity of it. But, you know, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of mileage, you know, a lot of fuel consumption. And like you said, with these teams that are not the high budget teams, you know, it becomes an issue. And I think, you know, everyone us regulars are doing everything we can to save money somewhere, you know, and gas is the thing that we have to do the most.
Yeah, that's true. And with the with diesel fuel costing more than regular gas ever since somebody made us think about it. Oh, we can run diesel. It's cheaper back in the day.
Exactly. You know, what happened to that oil? Didn't these people just put oil in their tank, you know, make it last longer? I don't even think that works anymore.
No.
Yeah, not going to happen. You know, Back to the Future had an idea, but that's not working either. We all just need a flux capacitor in our cars.
Did you know, and I saw this the other day, the date that he fast-forwards to in the future in 2012 actually just happened the other day.
Who's
oh,
that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, McFly.
Yep, the day he comes forward in the future was actually the other day, because a lot of people were posting about it. They're like, do you not realize today is the day that, you know, they flew into the future, and it was that date.
That's right. It was July 25th or something like that, last week.
Yeah, I forget what the date was, but it was kind of funny. And it's like, you know, I don't see any hoverboards out here like they were showing in that movie, and we don't have little robots and computers. Well, I guess we kind of do have computer screens taking our orders, just not in the same concept as they had in the movie. But, like, you go into a Wawa, and you're typing in your cell phone on a computer screen. So, I mean, it kind of is. Some of it is, and some of it isn't.
You can go to where, Tammy?
Wawa.
It's a convenience store. kind of like what convenience stores do you have around in Texas there, like Circle K or something like that?
Yeah, we have Circle K, Valero.
Yeah, it's like one of those.
And you put your and what do?
You go up to the screen and you type, you like go on the screen and you order what you want off the little touch screens.
For to
like,
get a sandwich made. Does they have like a deli?
Yeah, they have
a deli
and stuff. Yeah, so they do like your food made to order, or you can get fajitas and all kinds of stuff. And they you just put on the screen and type in what you want and put all your toppings and everything on it and tells them in the back what to make.
Bucky's has that. You know, Bucky's is a travel center. I believe there's only like 32 Bucky's, but Bucky's is like huge, and they have that for their deli. You can go and then they call your number.
Yep, they call your number when it's done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all remember, I live in the country. I mean, the town that we live in, I believe now is population 1,028. That's just the town, the city. But surrounding, I believe, Polk County that we live in is only something like 10,000 people in the county.
Hey, are we ready for Wayne?
Is he on?
Yep, let's bring
Wayne
in.
Yeah.
Hey, what's his last name?
Southard.
Okay.
Hey, now, that's not me. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh.
No,
I say I am.
No, that's not me at all. I don't know who that is.
Okay, we'll just introduce you as Wayne, the hauler driver for the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevy in the Nationwide Series TJ Bell's car. And I hear you're out in cotton corn country out in Iowa.
Is that where I'm at? Damn, I just thought the weeds had overgrown out here at Iowa Speedway. We hadn't been here in, 4 weeks? I didn't know maybe it had overgrown like Darlington. I didn't know maybe we had just kind of, been. This is another one of them. What in the hell are we doing back here again? Because, we just came from here a couple weeks ago, maybe, but whatever. They don't ask me when they make up the schedule. You know what I tell you? I was thinking about this the other day. Why don't the people out there in, let's just say Oregon or Wyoming or Montana or that's wide open space out there. How come nobody's built a racetrack out there? You think there's got to be all kinds of untouched pit lizards. I mean, fans out that way.
Damn gosh, lizards.
They're too busy building the baseball fields in the cornfield.
Well, here's the
that's
thing.
That's got to be.
Maybe I got an explanation. Well, they tried in Seattle, and the tree huggers out there shot it down. I guess they're burning too much fossil fuel to make put a race on.
Yeah,
Oregon,
but
it's too rainy.
Yeah,
and
Fontana,
nobody there.
Well, yeah, no, the reason nobody goes to Fontana is because within a 300-mile radius, you've got Fontana, Phoenix, and Vegas. So everybody that's been to one has been to the other, and by the time the third one comes around, they've already seen enough. So go ahead.
And
I think we need to contact Kevin Costner and say, you know what? He's going to come up there and he's going to call like Bruton Smith and say, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, well, you know what? Those of us that are involved in this business don't deserve. We refuse to put that nightmare on any more fans. So I'm not going to. I can't build them no more track of dreams or anything like that. But
track of dreams.
And another thing about Fontana is it's not really the best racing in the world. It's a snooze fest.
But it is right next to the Terminator warehouse where all the movie was filmed. So that's kind of cool. I mean, that's a nice little sight when you pull in. You look at you say that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger melted up the Terminator guy. But
next year.
That part of California, anyways, is drag racing country. That's not we've got no business being out there. But if we didn't go out there and didn't waste all that money and all that good stuff, then Mr. Penske wouldn't have a race to have at his racetrack, which nobody attends anyways. So
he originally built that as an IndyCar track as well, and he sold them all. He sold all his tracks to. The ISC anyway, so the France family owns them all now.
Hey, I'm going to bounce all around here. I'm like a Super Bowl in the concrete room tonight. Somebody explain this to me, if you could, real quick. All right. this weekend we had an inaugural race, and for those of you that don't understand, that's the first time we'd ever been there. Out there in Indianapolis, Indiana, there it's some kind of a famous racetrack. The Stockyards, the Backyard, no, Brickyard. That's it. The Brickyard. That's what they call it.
Brickyard.
I think the Indy guys, I think they used to race there from time to time. I think it's got quite a bit of history there anyways. So
yeah,
anyhow, the Nationwide folks, they come out there this weekend. They put on a pretty good show.
Yep.
But they got this thing about diversity and these female drivers and, wow, the upcoming female driver. And, of course, she puts it in the wall the first, not in the wall, but she kind of apparently couldn't read the fact that the man was getting ready to go into the pits and she run him over. Well, wrecked her car, but yet there's a lovely young lady out there named Joanna Long. How come ESPN never covers her? I mean, she run the crap out of Danica the other day, because Danica, well, she just decided she had to go to the mall or something, so she put that thing in the wall so she'd go home. And there's Joanna Long out
that.
There, run the entire race. And I'm going to tell you what, the fans in NASCAR don't stand up and start screaming and say, wait a minute, what is this biasness? You know, I thought we were supposed to be, we're covering racing. We're not covering the Danica show. But apparently we are. Oh, and by the way, she wrecked her car out in Indy today, too. She completely demolished the 14 car out at Michigan. I said Indy. I meant Michigan today, out there testing.
She did in testing.
No,
yep, she walloped the car.
Yeah, so at least she's consistent. So that's a good thing anyway. She's consistent. But anyway, why is it, and I know the answer to the question, but why, I can't understand why people aren't up in it. But go ahead. We're going to do Jeopardy, and the question is, go ahead.
Go ahead. What is, go ahead. Johanna Long is a tough driving girl. I've had her on the show several times. Cindy and Tammy can attest to that. She's soft-spoken. And
Yep. She
doesn't come to the sport bringing a big dollar sponsor like GoDaddy. She's driving with a team that's, you know, underfunded, and
Yep. She
just performs to the best of what she can get out of the car. And yeah, she's wrecked a few a bit early, you know, in the truck series last year. And
yep.
But she's grown
yep. From
that, and she's finishing races and basically finishing ahead of Danica every time they're on the track together.
Go
ahead. What's the reason why?
Danica doesn't mind letting it all hang out.
Literally.
In more ways than one.
Both on and off the track.
Joanna doesn't have a commercial that says go to GoDaddy.com for the X-rated version.
Exactly.
Exactly. But you know what? What dumbass reporter isn't taking advantage of this and bringing her out into the spotlight for some big dollar sponsor to go, wait a minute, we might be focusing our money somewhere we shouldn't be, because I know that won't happen, but I'm pretty confident that there's got to be some more female stuff out there that could be sponsored, but you know that could sponsor this poor girl. And like I said, and we all deserve sponsors, but I'm just saying there's the biasness in, if that is even such a word. I'm looking up here in my encyclopedias right now if that is even a word, but there's a biasness in the reporters of this sport. At what point does somebody wake up and say, you know what, this might be untouched territory that we might want to go into and start bringing this girl to the spotlight? Because that's how Danica couldn't drive a shopping cart through Walmart without wrecking the damn thing. She proved that in Indy. I mean, how many Indy races has she ever really won? I mean, seriously. That's what I'm saying. She's not another example of what we spoke about last week. It was, or whenever there was that, she's not in that car due to talent. You know, if her name was anything but Danica Patrick, great. She sells T-shirts. And for the truth to be known, the GoDaddy girl, that's not Danica. That's a girl that works at Junior Motorsports in the office. That's not even Danica. That's the GoDaddy girl. That's just some girl that just happens to look exactly like Danica. A lot of truth in that statement there, too, by the way. But
is that why the girl on the commercial is so pretty?
And tall?
And the
exactly.
Girl in the interviews is so homely?
I'm going to tell you right now, there is. And the girl that does the unzipping of the jacket and the flipping of the hair, that's one of the girls that works in the office down there at Junior Motorsports. That's not Danica. That's just a girl that just happens to, and it's completely coincidental. looks just like Danica. But, yeah, I mean, good God almighty. No, I've seen that thing when it crawls out of bed in the morning walking around the pit area. It's pretty nasty looking. It really is. I mean, that right there, that is a personal opinion. That is not. That has no bearing on what this show thinks or their sponsors or any of their people that are involved with them. That's my own opinion. And
I don't
that
care.
Of a lot of others. Go ahead. You like what?
That doesn't matter to me. I like the truth to be told. You know, it's not like I.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
That's why we sugarcoat it. So.
I'm not quite sure she's standing up yet either. I ain't quite been able to figure that one out for sure. But
okay,
we'll
you
figure
know,
it out someday.
That's another thing. You know, Daytona 500.
Being standing up?
Did you have to run across the track taking off your fire suit and asking one of the officials where the bathroom was? Did you see that? Who saw that?
Huh?
Didn't see that. She showed up, did.
I couldn't see that because I was driving up north from down here and... Last thing I knew, Montoya blew up the jet dryer.
So you know, all the drivers were out of their car. They're all standing around. She's trying to find a circle to talk in. But the next thing you know, you see her running across the track, taking off her fire suit. Okay, you know, the top's coming down, and then she stops at one of the officials, and they point to that direction, and she starts running.
And the camera followed her all the way, I'm sure.
And the camera followed her.
Was that something more interesting
to me? I'm sure they did.
More interesting. Excuse me. I'm going to have to leave now because I'm going to something more interesting.
Okay.
No offense to TJ Bell that's in the sand trap, but, you know, let's go to something more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. She's in that job to take the rest of them out there. She did wreck the 14 today. God bless her. God bless her. She's consistent. I know. They were up there practicing. So she didn't just wreck it. She completely she wadded it up pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah. She's definitely
know,
not.
Okay, let me. You know,
Junior,
I have to always defend.
Look at my car.
Let me defend because you know I mean there's always a defense, okay? You know someone
Bring it
needs
down.
To come to her defense. Just let me defend her for a minute. We have to realize what she's come out of, the weight. What is it, 1,700 to 3,700? You know, maybe she just can't hold the car.
Well, just because she's on the Swim Fast diet, I don't know that she weighed 3,800 when she came in here. But but you know what? That's not my problem. Because I got a bunch of young kids who are going to be there this weekend up here in Iowa in a series that very few people know about. It's owned by or sanctioned by NASCAR. It's called the NASCAR K&M Pro Series. East Side, West Side are going to be up there this weekend, and I guarantee I could put a 17-year-old kid inside one of the Nationwide cars. He could outrun her. The weight is nothing more than an excuse. It's just an excuse.
Yep.
And if that's the case, guess what? She's getting in a Cup car next year. She's got no business being in there. And how many drivers are going to stand up and say, "No way in hell"? Because if they do stand up and complain about her coming to the Cup side, I got a pretty good idea they might end up with a failed drug test somewhere along the line.
Speaking of which.
An unknown substance. What? And then we're going to go ahead and get everything tested, motorhome and everything. You know, let's test everything to see what's producing this. That would be called
Absolutely.
A baggie. That would be called a baggie.
Right. But anyway, That's about all that's going on in racing world. There ain't a whole lot of excitement going on this week other than it's a long, long drive from Indy to Iowa, and there's a lot of corn there, too, all kinds of corn.
Is there? I thought it all burned up. You listen to the news, all the corn burned up.
Yeah. I was out there watching them pick it, and I was like, you know, that right there would be kind of fun. I bet that's a lot more fun than putting up with the politics of this business. But then again, I thought, I'm not allowed to say that out loud, but I just did. So, you know how it is. It's just one of them things. You know, we're out here doing what we love to do. It's just, unfortunately, the people that allow us to do this sometimes don't allow us to have the kind of fun that we're supposed to be having, which is going out there racing and making them cars go fast, turn left. And God forbid for the next 2 weeks, we've got a hard enough time keeping viewers as it is, and now we got two big old road races coming up, which is about as exciting as nothing. Well, it's actually almost as exciting as watching corn grow in Iowa. It's just amazes me. But, oh, well, can't complain because we're doing what we're doing every single week is what we love to do, and there's too many people out there that would love to be doing it. I just wish to God somebody would hurry up and write the book of the behind the scenes.
There you
anyway,
go. Wait,
I know.
Wait for something to do on the off time when you're waiting for the race to come into town. I mean, you're out there now.
And I'll tell you, there's actually a bunch of K&N teams out here that are already ready to line up. Hell, they don't even park till Thursday. We do have we've got a huge haul of parade in Des Moines on Thursday afternoon, just the Nationwide and Cup guys. We're going to, I guess, take over downtown Des Moines to bring interest to the sports. We're all going to get all polished up and get our
Rick
best lights all working, all chromed up. We're even thinking about taking our baths before Saturday night just so we can get all prettied up for this whole thing. But
oh,
we're going to do a big old haul.
Is that
parade.
Why you
yeah,
got
well,
your nails done?
Yeah,
is
well, I had to
get
my nails done. Yeah, I had to get my nails done. That way there, you know, I could look real pretty. But, we'll wait and see what happens. But seriously, there is a huge haul of parade Thursday night in downtown Des Moines. We're gonna take the town over. Yeah, I'm pretty surprised, actually, because people that don't know, I mean, Des Moines is about 40 miles west of the racetrack. The racetrack is in Newton, Iowa. And to explain to you how to get there, get on 80. If you're coming from the east heading west, as soon as you cross into Iowa, just keep driving until you see Welcome to Iowa Speedway. And there's a huge, massive sign. But, yeah, we come down at Des Moines if you want Thursday night. We're going to have a big old haul of parade, and you can see all of our shiny trucks and big, pretty lights. And, hard telling what else you might see. You never know. Sometimes accidents happen when trucks are driving, so... But it's going to be a good time. Be a good time.
Wayne, we have a question from one of our listeners, and I'm going to answer this as best as I possibly can. And, you know, I know we have Kevin listening also, so, you know, maybe we can bring him in and just maybe help me answer this. Tracy says.
I don't know that Kevin's mama's allowing him to be up this late. It's pretty late for Kevin to be up. I don't think he's allowed to be out of bed this time of night.
We have to bring him in so he can defend himself. Hold on.
No.
Kevin, we brought you into the conversation, Kevin.
You brought me
Kevin,
in.
He's dogging on you, Kevin.
I hear
you. In case the listeners don't know, Kevin, what is your title? What is it you do?
I'm the car chief for the 50 Nationwide car.
Okay. Pot stirrer. He's the pot stirrer is what he does. He gets out there and he stirs the pot. Keeps keeps all the controversy rolling.
Got a big song to pass the time away.
What's that?
I said I got to do something to pass the time away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Are you out in Iowa too?
Everybody's talking at once. Can't understand dang thing. But anyways, what's the question? Got ahead. What's the question?
Yeah, I lost the question. Never mind. So.
All right then. The question was how many people can be on a radio show at the same time and everyone talk, no one understand each other? And the answer is five.
Five.
We want to know. We have a question. We want to know how many gallons is that truck?
The one I'm driving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one I'm driving, the gallons of what? Oil? Water?
Diesel fuel.
Oh, diesel fuel. 200. If I filled it all the way to the top, I could. It legally holds 240 gallons, but I could probably get 250 to 260 in it if I wanted to.
Wow.
800 to fill it up.
No, well, what? 800? Hell, 800 won't even have to fill it up. Take 240 and multiply it by the fuel right now out here is 381 a gallon. So do the math.
Ouch.
It's pretty expensive. Wait,
you said that so fast I can't even pull up the calculator.
$914.
Yeah, we'll
is that what it is?
Yep.
$900. It's $1,000. it's a $1,000 bill to fill it up. And then the best part about all that is it's pretty fuel efficient. She gets about 5 to 5.5 miles to a gallon. 6 on a good day if there's a lot of downhill driving and you shut it off just as you crest the hill and roll down over the other side.
Wow.
Well, hey,
but that's typical. That's typical for all. That's, you know, 5 miles to a gallon is pretty standard for these big trucks out here on the highway.
Now, yours a turbo diesel?
Yeah, they're all turbo. Every one of these trucks out here nowadays are all turbos. Yep. Yep. And there'll be guys out here that tell you that. Yep.
No, go.
But there's out there in Iowa.
What about Iowa?
What'd you say, Kevin?
I said there's no hills out in Iowa. And plus, when you leave Iowa coming back to Carolina, you're downhill, so it won't take us that much gas to get back home.
Well, you're exactly right, and if the wind's blowing just right, and every time we leave out of here, there's usually a tornado chasing us anyway. So, if you look at it on the map, it's all downhill back to North Carolina from out here. So it's pretty fuel-efficient vehicle.
You can get one of those big trucks, like I said. Pulling all the equipment out there, making a round trip, you went out from Indy to Iowa instead of going the same fuel, instead of going all the way back to the shop. And,
well, because I only had a limited amount of time to steal fuel to put in my truck, and I only was able to steal enough to take me from Indy to Iowa. I couldn't steal enough to go all the way back to Mooresville and then come all the way back up here again. I mean, borrow, temporarily relocate. if you were going to go from Indy back to Mooresville, unload, reload, come all the way back up here, you're probably talking at least every bit of $1,800 for the round trip, and then it'll be another $1,000 to go back home. So,
wow,
$3,000 just to do all that.
Yeah, call it $3,000 up, down, and back. Yeah, so that now you understand why it's a lot cheaper to go from Indy over here, because it's only like 400 miles. It's 400 miles from Indy to where I'm at now, and it's 1,100 miles from Mooresville to where I'm at right now. So. You know, 5 miles to a gallon multiplied by, you know, call we might as well call fuel 380 a gallon across the country if you average it out, I'm thinking. It's an ignorant expense, and it's too bad, too, because everybody's got these great big old haulers only because somebody else decided to go out and buy a great big old hauler. So everybody's going to outdo everyone else, you know, but it is what it is. You know, it's probably, if I had to guess, it's probably one of the, outside of the race car itself, it's probably one of the biggest expenses that's out here right now as far as for the race team. You know, once you got the race car all put together and we're ready to go head on the racetrack, it is probably the biggest expense. So it would be awful nice if we had somebody that would give us $1,000 a week just for fuel. That would be a huge expense. A huge expense lifted off our back, but you know, we don't have that, so that's why I have to go around and borrow it 5 gallons at a time. And you know, sometimes these things happen, sometimes they don't. It's called a donation.
We need to give a shout out.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I figure if the government's able to come in here and rip money out of my pocket with taxes, I can just go out and borrow $5 worth of fuel from everybody. It's called a donation, just like you give the government every week when you got to pay your taxes. So,
I guess you need to give a shout out to that 39 and that 52 hauler for helping us do that, right?
I don't know nothing about that. It's not my fault that they chose to park next to me. Thank you, Eloy. That they chose to park next to me. Sometimes these things happen. Could be a bad fuel gauge. Could be you never know what happens, you know.
I know the transporter on the 24 truck, the fuel gauge in the trailer was broke for some odd reason. It was showing empty, but it was still running for some odd reason.
Well, that's usually what happens when you've got enough money for fuel that you can overfill these things. Sometimes those gauges break when you put too much fuel in them, but yeah, I don't know anything about a broken fuel gauge. I wasn't there that day, and unless anybody's got video, they can't prove anything anyway. So it's all good.
Is that what you two do?
Do what?
Now they're going to believe all this. You know that.
I'm just a traveling auto mechanic. I'm just a traveling auto mechanic and sell Bibles on the side.
And I'm just
you sell
hold the steering wheel and everyone's
away for free.
No, exactly. Why do you think we sell them? Because we borrow them from the hotels and we sell them back out to the public.
Some of the hotels we stay, we have to actually put the Bibles in them because they're that scary.
Yeah, that's very. That is true. There's a lot of truth in that one. There, we went to one last.
What was it? Chicago, I believe. And
they would have left the light on for us, but somebody stole the damn thing.
Yeah, I threw my room key on the bedspread there, and the bedspread was so colorful, I lost my hotel key in it.
You know, yeah. I guess I can. You know, let me see. I don't know if the chat room will let me post any pictures, but I can post a picture of that, and it was pretty wild. I have that picture. Unfortunately, it doesn't let me.
Just imagine somebody with a mouthful of Skittles throws up. That's what it looked like. Only different.
Ew.
Oh yeah, it was absolutely. It was right dead was straight sad. Out of a Brady Bunch movie. I swear to God.
It was sad.
But the
it
hotel,
was worse than
the hotel
Brady Bunch.
Itself. The hotel itself, I swear to God, they had no slip. I've never in my life have I ever experienced no slip carpet until I walked into this place and stepped on it.
Really?
And that carpet was so sticky, I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely, it was no slip carpet. I had never heard of it in my life until I got to there. Now, I'm pretty confident that just before we got there, they wiped up the chalk drawings that were probably laying across the floor, because I'm sure there's some activities that may have taken place at this facility that we didn't want to know about.
Oh, that's good. No protein stains all over the floor.
You know, I don't know what kind of stains was in there, but I guarantee you this much. It'd be let's just say Mr. Tom Baudette, who left the light on for us, would have been pretty embarrassed to call that place his own. It was
Kevin,
it was pretty scary.
Kevin and Wayne, how many rooms did y'all go through?
We went through the first room we went in, the AC didn't work. So I tracked down the hallway there looking in the windows because we're in a motel instead of a hotel. And I actually looked through four different rooms and found the only room it had a refrigerator in it.
Really?
Yeah, and it said we were staying at a motel that has a number in it, and then the damn refrigerator probably said Property of Comfort Inn on it or something like that. I don't know, but it was oddity that it was the only one that had a refrigerator in it. That's for sure.
And actually, the air
conditioner in that room didn't work all that good either. That's why we left the refrigerator door open at night.
Wayne and Kevin, we have a caller that wanted to talk to y'all.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
How much you pay them? How much you pay them to call in?
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's going to
be
here for dinner. We have y'all's best friend on the line. So hold on.
Hi, Uncle Kevin. Hi, Wayne.
Oh,
hey, my
Lord,
what
I've been
doing.
I was only jokingly gonna say that they take the phone and pass it around the neighborhood to get someone to call in, and I guess they really did. Ain't it bedtime out there in Texas? It's got to be.
No, it's still early over there.
All right.
It's bedtime here in PA, but it's okay.
Yeah. Oh. Bedtime. It's time for wrestling on TV.
Oh, I don't like that.
Two more minutes.
What time is it in Iowa?
7:58. We're on un-American time out here. We're on anything other than Eastern time is not American. It's foreign time.
Yeah, you're an hour behind.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, the clocks are too, not just me. But yeah.
No,
yeah.
I meant the clocks. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what are some of the driving the car around for the team? What are some of the weirdest outside of what are some of the locales that you feel that
whatever you do, Wayne. Whatever you do, Wayne. Don't talk about Kentucky.
No. Was that Kentucky where that happened?
Yeah, we were running down the interstate right before Louisville.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, there might be a child on the line. Be careful.
No, she's gone.
Okay.
She's gone.
Sounds like she's choking.
Let's just say there was a gentleman that night going down the highway that had a companion with him, and they were taking care of some business. Yeah.
Was the vehicle bouncing as it went down the road?
Someone inside was bouncing, and I'm sure eventually the car was too. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to be honest with you. I got to be perfectly honest with you. I had a lady one time. She come up beside me, and she let the puppies breathe, if you will. She kind of lift that shirt up, and some things fell out. And she ended up following me for quite a while. And I don't know where we was at. It couldn't have been on the highway because we was at a stoplight that she pulled up next to me. And I rolled down my window, and I explained to her that it'd probably be to her best interest that don't ever let those things, you know, out willingly like that. Just wait for somebody to ask. Don't do it on your own. Because I swear to God, them things hit the ground, and I know them rear tires run them things over. It's just there's some things out here that people really just shouldn't be showing us, and that was one of those things I didn't need to see. It looked like a tube sock with a big old grapefruit at the end of it. You know, this was not right. But I mean, what is there to see out here? I mean, if you name it, I've seen it. Yeah, and there's some things that my mind will never be the same again. I had to go to therapy every once in a while just to get it out of my head.
I thought the drivers had all the fun. Sounds like the hauler driver has a lot more interesting stories than the race car driver. Now, Kevin, you're the car chief.
Yes, sir.
As far as getting the car ready for the weekend's events, what all do you have to go through to make sure it's ready to, I guess, hit the inspection?
Before we even leave to go from the shop and all, we go through all complete setups, doing caster, camber, wheelbase, body offset locations, stuff like that, making sure the car's at the right, got the right amount of wedge in it, the car weighs the proper weight and all. And then when we, load it in a hauler, and then Wayne takes it out to the track. And when we get out to the track, we have to go through multiple tear down or tech, as you would say, as we call it, that has to be done the first day. When we pull in, we have to actually disassemble the car when we get to the racetrack for them to go through and check the proper gear ratio, make sure the motors are staying within the same compression ratio. They're only allowed to be between 11.5 and 12.0 compression. Oh, yes. And then they also check her carburetors. They do a safety inspection, which is going through checking the dates on the seats, on the steering wheel, on the seat belt.
Window net. Window net.
Window nets. I just had a big issue with a window net in Loudon this past about 3 weeks ago. Then they check the fire bottles, all the safety stuff they check. They make us pull the fuel cells completely out to make sure the proper fuel cans, you know, the fuel cell only hold 18 gallons of fuel in it.
Anymore?
Do what? No, they're not. Two anymore. They're just straight up 18 gallons, and they have to go through a template deal that, you know, that slides over the outer box and all of that to make sure nobody's fudged with the boxes trying to get that extra fuel in them.
Huh.
And then after that, we have to put the car all the way back together, and then we go through all of the templates and stuff where they lower the grid down on top of the car and they check for the differences in the body, at the body locations, and how the windows are fit in the car, how the front bumper and the front splitters are mounted to the car. And then we go up to the height sticks and make sure all the cars are within the exact same height. And we have on the front, you're allowed 29 3/4 to 30 inches. And on the rear of the cars, you're allowed, if I'm not mistaken, it is 43 3/4 to 44 inches in height. And they make us go through all that stuff.
Now, is that the deck lid height or the spoiler height?
That's the top of the spoiler. And then we go, you know, we push up onto scales. They check the camber and caster because on the left side, your max camber is that you're allowed is 9 degrees. So they check to make sure you stay in these little small boxes, and then you push up onto the scales, and they have the drivers come in every race and actually stand on the scales to get their weight, so they know if, you know, our driver weighs 180 pounds, our cars only have to weigh 3,480 pounds.
Isn't it, Kevin, altogether?
Do
Is it 3,700 altogether?
No, it's 3,500 is what the car has to weigh. But they give weight breaks on the body of the driver's weight, like a Danica Patrick. Her car, with her body weight of 120 pounds, her car has to weigh 3,500 pounds, no matter what. Like TJ Bale, the driver of our car, he weighs 180 pounds, and we get a 20-pound weight break because of his body weight.
Okay. So where she would have pounds in the car to get it to 3,500 pounds.
That's correct.
You would get a discount basically, and have to.
That's why these drivers are so teeny tiny and small. People think, my Lord, I can't believe how small and tiny these drivers are. It's the same theory as you never see a fat man on top of a horse at the Kentucky Derby. They're all little small fellers for the same reason. Because the lighter the driver, the lighter the car. You know, the more we can put into the car that we need to.
I guess Jimmy Spencer was probably the last really big guy to climb into a car.
You haven't seen Mike Harmon lately.
Yeah, Mike Harmon weighs about 260, 270 on a good day.
On a good day? How do you think you're the window?
Well, you know what? You ever heard of that? You ever heard of a product called Crisco? We grease him up real good and shove him in there.
Yeah.
I had Mike on my show years ago, and after his crash at Bristol.
Yeah, but and don't get us wrong. We're picking on Mike. Mike's one of our best friends. He's one of our really good friends out there. Mike's actually a very good friend of mine and Kevin's both, so we just pick on him.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
We have a question, Kevin, you can answer this. Is the car painted at all, or is it all wrap, our car, the number 50, our car?
The 50 car is a partial wrap car. The majority of it, did you see the flat black during race day and stuff like that? That is actually an epoxy primer that we use because in case we do get into the wall during practice or whatever, we got some epoxy spray that we can fix and repair the car a little easy. So it's not so noticeable from the stands because, you know, the appearance of the cars is what, you know, NASCAR is actually looking for. Some of your bigger teams, larger teams, they do what they call a full car wrap, which, you know, is wrap the hood, the roof, every place on there, and the only things that are painted is around the gas hole, the window jams, and then it's just primer under that. Difference between a full wrap and it's like a epoxy primer or a regular paint job is 8 pounds, being that the full wrap car is 8 pounds lighter because of not having so much material in the paint and things like that that paints the car.
Yeah, I always thought that the base color of the car was paint and everything else was stuck on. I guess that's evolved over the years to where, like you said, just a primer now and and that resin. And just to save weight again, then. But if the car was actually painted, they would still have to hit the scales and max out at 3,500 pounds. Would it be more balanced to keep the car just painted as opposed to just having a wrap on it to save some weight?
Yes. I mean, you know, 8 pounds is, you know, it's 8 pounds. Between doing a full paint and a rap. It's really non-controversial. The only thing of it is like you're at the racetrack that weekend, and you scrub the wall during practice or whatever. You hammer everything back out with a wrap. You just pull the wrapping off and you lay it back over top of it, and it looks like nothing's ever happened. On the paint side, you know, it's hard to match the exact color of the car with spray cans, like spray bombs that you would go like Duplicolor and things like that.
Right.
Because that's why you see so many white cars and so many black cars out there now, is because the effect of it is, you know, you can get white in, you know, a normal shade and black in a normal shade. So the lower budget teams, like our team is, when we do, because a wrap is anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000.
Wow.
Painting a whole car is around $2,000.
How many?
So it's around $2,000.
Okay.
So for $4,000 more, you get to save 8 pounds. Is it feasible for the low budget teams? Not really. For the upper teams like Dale Juniors and Penske and all of those, where they have multiple sponsors, you know, they can pull a wrap on and off in a matter of minutes, to where it takes more time in going to the paint shop, doing the Bondo work to make it look better.
Now, say you, like you said, you scuffed the wall in practice. Now, pulling the wrap off, you have, I guess, for that few thousand dollars, you get a few sets of them to where if you need them, you stick them back on the car, and you could always reuse them down the road, I guess, and unless you get a new sponsor or they want their stuff on it. Or is the sponsor decal separate from the rat?
Most of the time, on your larger teams, they have actually the sponsors are made into the wrap.
Okay.
So like Penske with the Yala Alliance car, all of theirs is, their car is actually, all the decals you see on there except the contingency stickers in the headlights and rear, you know, rear deck, the rear tail panel decals, all of that is in a wrap. It's all made in there. So if they stuff the wall on the right side and they bend the right rear quarter panel in, they'll come in, they'll hammer all of that out, they'll cut the wrap out right there where it's damaged at, they'll peel that off, and they carry another wrap, a full wrap with them. So, and then they just they get the body all back to close as the perfect as they can, and then they lay that wrap over top of it, and you never even see a dent.
I was wondering how that happened because, I mean, how the wrap thing worked. And being the car chief, you pretty much see how all, you know, you have to deal with all this. And
on a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis,
We also have patches that we can actually take our painted car, and we have actually vinyl. If you could imagine like a roll of vinyl that's black that we can actually put in place of any kind of divots that might be inside of our paint job.
Hmm.
So you can actually wrap a painted car with it. You put a little piece of vinyl on there to cover up possibly a blemish that's in your paint job or something.
Exactly.
And the thing about it, too, is like nobody knows it's there except you guys who have to fix it. But even you can't even see it on TV, even if it would have had a little dimple in it. But everything is so aero-sensitive. You got to make sure that the lines are smooth to get as much performance out of the car you can. And, you know, with you guys that make motorsports and where, you know, you're running with limited funding, that you have to stretch everything out even further and to see what goes into getting a car ready on a weekly basis. It's amazing all the little costs that arise from doing all that.
Oh, yeah. Just like, you know, the car that we have out in Iowa right now, is the same car that we had at Chicagoland and at the Indy this past weekend. So, I mean, you know, we have to fix the blemishes on it as we're at the tracks. And, yes, you can't when you're up close on the car, when you're standing a couple inches or a foot away from it, yeah, you can see those little blemishes in it. But the fans that are up in the grandstands that actually support us and helps, you know, they come to the track, they spend their money, they buy their T-shirts for their fan, for their favorite driver and all. That's the people who actually pay for us to be at the racetrack. If, you know, if the grandstands, if people weren't in the grandstands, then we couldn't do our dream job like me and Wayne. So, you know, the fans that are up above, you know, up in the stands, you know, they don't see the blemishes, or they don't get to see the behind the scenes. Like in between races this weekend from Indy to Iowa, you're looking right now of just getting their entry fee wise, not included or whatever, just getting the car serviced and all of that, you're looking about $3,500
a week
of just getting the hub serviced, the brakes all turned around and serviced, and the man hours that come involved in getting that. And with a low budget team like we are, we have five people on our team, not including the driver, that spends hours upon hours in the side of a shop, that, you know, we have to do it. A larger team has 120 to 130 employees like Penske and Dale Jr. and them, and it takes us maybe 2 days to get everything serviced. They can have everything serviced within an 8-hour day, and it's cheaper on them.
And on top of that, they probably, just to give an example, they went back this week, and people think they're going back this week to get their Iowa cars ready. No, their Iowa car was ready a long time ago. Hell, they're probably working on their Homestead cars right now. So because that's the advantages of a large team.
Yeah, you have to.
A lot of the teams here very, 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 very soon, a lot sooner than what I would think, they're going to be starting on their 2013 cars because we're bringing the Camaro out. So
that's right. And you guys,
every piece of Impala is going to be thrown away. It's going to be useless, absolutely useless to us. So. People have no idea the amount of this expense. And Chevrolet doesn't come up to us and say, hey, listen, guys, we're going to change manufacturers, so we're going to give you all of this stuff. There's no such thing as give. It's you either pay for it or you don't go racing. And it sounds to me like I do remember in years past, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a transition period that took place. You were allowed to go maybe half the season or the first third of the season and transition your team. It doesn't sound to me like NASCAR is allowing us to do that this year. It sounds to me like come February in Daytona, everybody better have a Camaro on the track, or they're not going to. No, I'm saying the Chevrolet guys had better have Camaros on the track, and there better not be an Impala showing up, because if it does show up, it won't be racing. At least that's the way that I'm reading it, anyways. It sounds like we're not going to have any grace period at all this year. So.
Yeah, usually every year you can use an older car or going up into the new model.
Do what now?
We'll use the same style chassis. The chassis will be the same. But the bodies will all have to be changed. Yeah. Now, for Chevrolet, only thing that Chevrolet will sell you to convert it over to the Camaro is the nose, the hood, the deck lid, and the rear bumper fascia. Well, for all four of those items will cost you $3,000 per car.
Wow.
And that's just buying those parts. Then you have to take it to a body shop have them put all, put those items in place. Then they have to reconfigure your front fenders and your rear quarter fenders to match up with that. So then you're looking at another additional $2,000 to $3,000 more. So you have $6,000 to $7,000 in your new Camaro body, and before you even make it to Daytona next year for 2013.
Now and you haven't put any running gear on the car either. You're just talking about a frame, a roll cage, and a body. That's it. You haven't put anything in it yet, and we're already, you know, you're looking at it. We're up to $6,000-$7,000 already.
Well,
that's one car.
The frame and roll cage are the same. Is the roof panel the same, or is that the Camaro?
The roof panel actually comes from the top of the doors, the bottom of the front windshield, and the bottom of the rear window. That's what they call a greenhouse. Those greenhouses will stay the same on all the cars. So basically, at the end of this year, you'll come right at the center of the rear quarter panels, and at the front center of the front quarters, and you'll lop the whole front end off, lop the whole back end off, remove the rear deck lid, which is your people would know as a trunk, your trunk
right.
lid, and the hood. And that's all you will get to keep on these race cars. And then everything else will be all new. And NASCAR will give us a tolerance of a quarter of an inch,
that's
you know, of being able to be within those heights that you got to be. But when they, on your height sticks, but when they lower this template down, what everyone, it's called a claw, that actually covers it, goes from the back rear fascia all the way to the front bumper.
I've seen that thing.
They in certain areas, you're allowed a 16th of an inch, but up to an 1/8 of an inch in body tolerance. Like for Daytona, the body tolerance for Daytona will be anywhere that they have to stick a gate that has to be less than a 16th of an inch.
Which isn't all that big for everybody out there that doesn't understand fractions.
Exactly. It's red.
It's a pencil lead.
Yeah.
It's a pencil lead is about a 16th of an inch.
Okay. I was going to say a match, but a match, you know, width-wise is about an 1/8, and figure flat is about.
Actually, if you take and pull a match out, if you hold it up long, you know, long ways, like you're saying, the fattest part up, that's an 1/8 of an inch. When you do the thin part of it, a match is only a 32nd.
Which is half a 16th, so.
Which is half of a 16th of an inch.
That's a real fight. Yeah.
We have a question.
Sure.
Tracy wants to know, will ARCA use the throwaway stuff?
Nope.
No.
ARCA cars, not even the same.
They used to use old cup cars, didn't they?
Yes, they still use old cup cars, but they use the cup car that the last time the cars that they use in ARCA was ran was in 2007, at the end of the year 2007, because the car of tomorrow that they run over in the Nextel Cup side or Sprint Cup side, you know, that's when the COTs that you see everybody's running now. Those, you know, and they came out full blown in 2008, and when they did that, it flooded the market with the old school style cup cars. And, you know, you could, you know, before then you would take, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 to purchase one of those. But when they switched it over and the market was flooded, you could go buy those cars for $8,000 to $10,000. That's how big of a hit.
So they probably stocked up on those bodies then.
Oh yes. A lot of people stocked up on chassis, but like the K&N, like what Wayne was referring to earlier, the K&N East and K&N West, they run the exact same cars. So that's what propelled that series, is when all of this abundance of the older cars came out. K&N did the smartest thing they could do, jumped on board, allowed those cars to be ran, and you know, they brought out a great series now. You know, they got an East series and a West series that compete as almost as 20 to 22 races, if I'm not mistaken, in the East side and the West side.
Yeah.
They have, you know, they have anywhere from 36 to 40 cars show up at an event, and then, like, this weekend out in Iowa, it's a West and the East series. They're, you know, like one of their main championship races. So there'll be 42 to maybe 48 cars for a K&N race, to where our nationwide race only has 44 cars entered this weekend.
Yeah, but only the top 43 can. I don't know how many they allow. Like the Truck Series is 36. On the, you know, the qual to make the race nationwide,
exactly.
Top 43. What's K&N allowed to make the race? Are they a 36 or
K&N is just like the trucks. It's 36 cars, but I guarantee you, Kevin's number was actually low. I will bet without any exaggeration, I'll bet there'll be 50 plus race teams out here this weekend just for the K&N series. The K&N series is actually a whole lot bigger than what people realize. The problem is with K&N, a good percentage of, and when I say a good percentage of, I'll be willing to bet almost everybody works there on a volunteer basis. Nobody actually gets a paycheck that works. I worked over there for quite a few years back when it's called the K&N series now. People that were unfamiliar with that may remember it as the Busch North series or what it originally started out with. It originally started out as the Grand National Series, the Grand National Series ended up becoming the Busch Series, which ended up becoming the Nationwide Series, and then breaking off from that was what they called the Busch North Series, and then from the Busch North Series, it went to the Camping World Series, and then it became the Camping World East and West because they had West Coast guys, and now it's called the K&N because K&N Filters is the primary sponsor.
And it used to be the Winston West before it became the Camping World.
And it was the Winston West, exactly,
right.
Exactly. And the it's an awesome series. Those boys, and I'll tell you, I enjoy watching them race. And I don't mean this disrespectfully to anybody in particular. The difference between Nationwide, Trucks, Cup, and K&N series is that the boys in K&N are still fighting to get up here to Trucks and Nationwide series. So they still have heart. They still have no fear. They don't have attitudes. They don't have egos. Those boys get in them cars and they race them just like you were going to go to your local track on a Saturday night. It's all or nothing. You got to understand, the K&N series is what NASCAR calls their driver developmental series. There's going to be some kids racing down there right now. That are going to be abs. They are the Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart's, Kevin Harvick's of tomorrow. The problem is that nobody knows about them because they have a horrible, horrible TV package. Their races are taped, then they're re-edited in the sound booth, and then they rebroadcast them usually a week or two later on speed. And anywhere from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock at night. But basically, if you want to know anybody wants to know anything more about the driver developmental series that NASCAR has, it's basically just go to NASCAR Home Tracks. I think their website is actually NASCARHometracks.com, but you can just Google NASCAR Home Tracks and they'll fill you in with all kinds of information about the K&N series, everything from where they race, when they race, the people who race in there, what it takes to become involved in that series as well. So it's an awesome, awesome, awesome series. And I'm gonna probably go out on a limb here and say 80% of the guys that are racing in Nationwide and Trucks today came through that series at one time or another.
Well, I could name a few. As a matter of fact, Joey Logano, Ryan Truex, Martin Truex, From the East Series out west, you have the Boyers, Harvicks, now in the Truck Series, Paulie Haraka.
There's a kid this weekend that's actually going to be racing for Rab Racing. Really good friend of mine. When he first came to the K&N Series, he was like a it was like watching one of your own children grow up. He was very, very reserved, a very, very quiet driver. But his kid, a kid by the name of Brett Moffitt, he's from out here in Grimes, Iowa. But he's actually been racing in the K&N Series. He actually had a go for a little bit over at Michael Waltrip Racing. Well, again, he's coming back this weekend in Iowa. Somebody has given him an opportunity. Robbie Benson's going to give him a chance in the 99 car, and he's going to run that this weekend. Brett is an example of racing today. The kid can wheel the hell out of a race car. The problem is he doesn't have a fat checkbook. If he had a fat checkbook, he would be up there. He would be running every single weekend in the Nationwide Series, where he should be running. Any sponsor that doesn't grab a hold of this kid is a damn fool, because the kid can wheel a race car. Not quite as good as TJ Bell, but a close third.
Yeah, but you know, that's where I saw the name Moffitt. It was a Michael Waltrip racing. Now around the 99 car, Benson running. Travis Pastrana ran this. That at Indy. Good thing he didn't wreck it, I guess. But, you know, that's a team that Kenny Wallace was associated with up until maybe a few races ago. So,
Due to sponsorship. There's Kenny Wallace on TV saying, I don't have money to run, so I can't run this weekend. Doesn't matter that my name's Kenny Wallace. Doesn't matter that I'm one of the old school drivers. Doesn't matter that my brother is Rusty. What matters is my checkbook.
Money.
If I don't have money to give to a team owner, guess what? I'm not racing. There is your number one problem with this sport today. Is if we can teach you how to drive if you got a fat checkbook. If you know how to drive and you have no money, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what to tell you.
Which impresses me about a driver out there that does it on his own week in, week out, and that's Jeremy Clements.
Jeremy's family, but Jeremy has a huge, and I'm not downing him for this. If it wasn't for Jeremy's family, he wouldn't be able to do what he does today, which is because of the fact that his family is there to back him every week.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeremy's a hell of a race car driver too. I mean,
right.
The Clements racing team is probably one of the last teams that I know of that not only races their car, but they build their own motors, which is what it used to be back in the day. And I believe Kevin will agree with this, is that, you know, back in the day, these race teams, if you race for let's just say Make Motorsports, well, Make Motorsports built their own motors, they built their own cars. Nowadays, nobody builds their own motors, nobody builds their own cars, everything's farmed out. We lease motors. Nobody buys or owns motors anymore. You lease them from Childress. You lease them from Hendrick. You know, depending on what car you're running. But Clements is the exception to the rule. And you know, the thing that I can say about the Clements, other than any other team, the Clements aren't trying to keep up with the Joneses. The Clements show up every single week in a hauler. It's called a toter home. It's not as fancy as what some of these other boys have. But I believe,
right,
if I remember correctly, I'd have to check my numbers, but I believe Jeremy finished like 15th last weekend at Indy. In that unprecedented. I mean, good for him. My hats go off to them boys, because they go out there every single week and they give it. And I've actually followed Jeremy up through the K&N Series. So, yeah, they're probably one of the last teams that still does that.
He finished 10th, and what amazes me is why he didn't have his familiar 51 that Ty Dillon had that, and he had the 4.
Because the 51 was guaranteed to be in the race regardless, so that's why Ty Dillon had that ride for the weekend.
So the four was guaranteed in also,
right.
But the whole ordeal behind that was, the Clements and Childress and them worked really good together on some of their stuff.
Okay.
And what that deal was this past weekend was Childress wanted the 51 number. So what Childress and them done, the car that Jeremy actually drove this weekend was actually a full prepared Richard Childress car with an ECR R07 motor in it. It was a car that they had all set up at Childress's, brought it down to Jeremy's and M's, and they loaded it up with the 51, and then they brought a second car down for Jeremy to run the number 4. What people don't understand is the Clemences had to haul the car that Ty drove. And
right.
Then Johnny Davis actually hauled the 4 car because the cars have to stay with the appropriate hauler numbers.
Gotcha.
And they actually took the second car, the ECR, you know, that Earnhardt Childress motor and Richard Childress race car, down there to them that all of their engineers and everything had set up this car and all, dropped it off there. When it showed up, the only thing the Clemences had in that car was Jeremy's seat and their knowledge to work on the car. Any kind of changes that they wanted, they had Richard Childress engineer there with them to help make the changes and everything. So, you know, but like Wayne was talking earlier, yeah, they're one of the only teams that's out there that's left that still builds their own motors and they don't farm anything out. And his equipment, you know, is a little older than the other guys, but they have what is, you know, a solid core group. Their family, you know, has got a long background in racing, and each, you know, each week he can take the best equipment that they have, and he can run a top 25 or a top 20
right.
week in and week out. And, you know, and on some good weeks, he'll squeak into the, you know, top 15. But this weekend, you know, just having all of the resources from Richard Childress and them, at one point, Jeremy was actually running 4th in the race.
I mean, that he finished in the 10th spot in a different car. So, basically, Childress being the 51 was guaranteed in due to owner points, which Clemens' team owns.
Uh-huh.
They bought the seat because there's no way Ty Dillon was not going to be in it.
Exactly.
And they gave Clemens all the 4 car. And,
a complete Childress prepared race car.
Right.
Just like the three car was done, and the 51. Both of those cars, and plus the Elliott Sadler 2 car. Those are all complete. All 4 of those cars this weekend were completely assembled, put together, and scaled and everything from Richard Childress Racing there in Welcome, North Carolina.
Well, and you also have to give big props to Ty, because Ty went out there and drove his ass off. People got to remember Ty's, and I'm not taking anything away from Jeremy. I'm not taking anything away from any other drivers that were out there. All right, Ty's a kid. What's Ty? 18, 19 years old.
19.
Somebody have to do an age check for me, but this kid wheeled. He drove the ass off that car, and I'm going to tell you what, that was impressive for me. You think about yourself at 19 years old, and think about what this kid is doing at 19 years old. I mean, the kid can wheel a car, and he is going to be the next one of the next big things. And I'm going out on a limb here, not very far, because a lot of people agree he's going to surpass his brother very, very soon. He's going to come up here, and he's going to take over the number one spot over there at Childress Racing between the two Dillon boys. I'm not taking anything away from Ty, from Austin, because Austin can drive as well. But Ty, in my opinion, Ty is a better driver. He's just something about him. And of course, he gets the opportunity to learn from what his brother does and doesn't do. But yeah,
right.
Ty's one hell of a race car driver. He out-qualified his brother actually this weekend.
Yep, 4 spots.
yeah, I thought he did.
Exactly.
But what I gotta say, and in their defense, too, I mean, their grandfather does have the best equipment in the world. I mean, you know, there's kind of a biological lottery that them boys hit when they were born. You know, I mean, their dad married the right girl who had the the second grandfather of the motorsports. You know, I mean, Mr. Childress is my hero. I mean, I'd love to work for him someday. But you know, that goes back to the whole checkbook thing. You know, it's not necessarily about your ability, but Ty has natural ability. Austin has natural ability. You can't teach what them boys do. You either know how to do it or you don't. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the Bush brothers.
Exactly.
Really? Yeah. Are we going to talk about them? Really?
Yeah, you know why? Because Gordon
I was wondering
Gordon didn't have, why because Gordon didn't have a brother. No, it was
what?
Man conversation. The women were out there in the kitchen baking the cookies like they're supposed to be doing. Anyway,
I can't complain about my ladies at the show. They do run they do handle the production work here with running the board. All I do is talk. So
yeah, the ironing. They ought to be out there. They ought to be out there running the ironing board, not the production board.
No. She does make great chocolate chip cookies. I know somebody makes great chocolate chip cookies.
I know. Somebody had them at Dover. I didn't get any. I wasn't there.
Well,
I
had some sent to the house.
Truth be known,
I don't think
anybody other than me had them at Dover, because once they showed up, I kind of pretty well confiscated them all and said, yep, these are mine.
They didn't go to the house, Kevin. They went to the racetrack.
Oh, yeah, they came to the track. Yeah, they were special delivered to the racetrack. Exactly. But I'm out there having more cookies made. I'm having to buy store-bought cookies now.
We'll have to send a care package.
I'm working on it.
I'm going to step out on a limb here. You can tell our age now, Kevin. You know how? Because back in the day, we were looking for a different kind of package. Nowadays, we're looking for the cookie package.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm going to step out on a limb here, as you say. Cookies. Don't y'all know what cookies mean?
Yeah.
Not playing the piano.
Wayne and Kevin, I'd like to thank you for coming on. We're going to make our picks. Do you want to pick who's going to win Pocono this week?
Before we do the Pocono pick, and by the way, in case anybody was wondering, your guess is correct. Yes, Kevin is from Boston, Massachusetts. You can tell by his accent.
Where's the lobster and the chowder?
Yeah.
Hey, they got some seafood. I can't complain.
I'm actually from Northern Maine, so I mean, I pick on him because it's like putting him and I together sometimes talking is like watching a Hispanic person and a Italian person speaking two different languages. It's okay, yeah, we have to decipher what each other is saying, but it's all good.
Well, you have to decipher what I'm saying, but I was born here, so I'm an American.
It doesn't make you a bad person.
I was born in Virginia, born and raised in Virginia, back in the mountains. Have you ever seen the TV show Moonshiners? That's was actually done out of my hometown, my hometown county.
Who am I talking to? Kevin. I moved to Bay, not too far south of there.
Y'all, hush. We have a respectable show here.
Huh? What?
Moonshine is what started racing.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's
absolutely, it did.
That car is moonshine.
It is. You're right.
If it wasn't for moonshine, there probably might not be a NASCAR.
We watch an Indy car in that Formula One snooze fest road course stuff.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? At least they fill their seats.
Well,
give them that.
What do they have in Europe?
The what?
They don't have anything in Europe. I mean, as far as filling seats, I mean, that's not real.
No, that's right. And like I said earlier in the show, and I was kind of being serious. I've got a friend of mine actually that actually brought that to my attention. She lives out in Wyoming somewhere, and she, you know, she says, y'all don't come out here. She says, I'd love to go to a race. And I'm just kind of thinking, you know, why couldn't they somewhere between, and I understand the tree huggers out in Seattle. I understand the rain in Oregon. But you take a spot somewhere between Seattle and we'll call it even Iowa, but up north of here and more to the west, there's going to be some untouched territory out there. Maybe someday we will end up out there. Is it cost effective? Probably not, but you never know. Whoever thought that we'd be racing at Phoenix or in Las Vegas or even in Iowa for that matter? People forget Iowa Speedway hasn't been here all that long.
Montreal.
So. Macho, God, you know what? I would go to California 3 times a year rather than go to Montreal once.
How hard is it to get the trailer through customs?
Well, depends on. Truthfully, it depends on what kind of mood the custom agent's in when you arrive there. It depends on how many people have pissed them. It depends on how many people have upset them from the previously before you get there. Technically, you're supposed to do a complete inventory of everything from the nose of the truck all the way to the rear of the trailer. Everything that's in there has to be accounted for and on a declaration sheet. Anything other than what's on that sheet, if they wanted to be real jerks, they could technically pull you over and inventory everything that's on your declaration sheet compared to everything that's inside your truck. And if it falters either way, you're not coming into the country.
Wow.
Exactly. But you know, but with that said, it's a hell of a lot harder to get back into the U.S. than it is to get into Canada.
Really?
It's a real, oh yeah, you better have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted before you come back into the country.
And now you need a passport.
You have to have, everybody has to have passports. There's a company out there that pretty much handles all the documentation for the NASCAR teams. I actually did it because I'm from the Northeast and I used to go to Canada all the time. It's really not a big deal. The problem is the language barrier. Down here, we can push 1 for English, 2 for Spanish, and those are the only 2 options. Good thing I don't only speak French because I'd be SOL here in this country. But up in Canada, in Montreal, they speak French and English when it's convenient for them, not when it's convenient for you. So
yeah.
when you're at the customs border, if they choose not to speak English to you, they don't have to, because in Canada, they're not going to change their language to accommodate you. You have to change your language to accommodate them. So luckily, from being up in that part of the world, I am able to communicate somewhat because I can speak some French, just enough to get by and just enough to get my ass kicked. So it works out pretty good either way.
Exactly. And like Wayne was referring on to the haulers, yeah, you got to have everything listed and inventoried on the declaration. And after the haulers go through, you know, the teams are coming through. And then you have some of the teams that are driving over into Canada will have 6, you know, some may have 6, some may have 8 to 10 people in a van.
And you're always going to have, one smartass that's going to end up ruining it for everybody, because they'll make some smart comment, and all of a sudden, customs just says, you know what,
pull over here.
We'll get to you. We'll get to you in a little bit, and a little bit could be somewhere between 5 minutes from now and maybe tomorrow.
Oh my
so,
God!
Exactly.
And I've personally been torn down. We had a tour bus. We went through. We crossed into Montreal one time. Again, to Quebec. It wasn't Montreal. We were crossing actually into Quebec. And somewhere along the lines, somebody must have had a bad day, and they absolutely, completely, 100% dissected the interior of our bus, which meant they took out the beds, they took out the cabinets, they took out the TVs, the speakers, anything that they could disassemble, they disassembled. And when they found absolutely nothing whatsoever, they said, okay, you're free to go. That means you have to reassemble everything, then you can continue on down the road. They tear it apart. They don't put it back together for you.
Oh, that'd be too easy for them to, too much work for them not to put it back together.
Yeah, and you have 2 options. You have 2 options, either let them do it or don't. And if you don't do it, you're not coming in. So.
Right. Well, gentlemen, so we'll have to make our picks for Pocono, and then thank to Kevin and Wayne, the hauler driver, and car chief for the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet. It's been great having the insight behind the scenes of what's involved in the car and hauling it around. And listen to you guys talk is find out what happens along the way that nobody really gets to see on TV.
So who do you all say I'm going to see in Victory Lane this weekend?
Who's racing? Who's racing at Pocono? Who's at Pocono this weekend? The trucks and Cup or just the trucks?
ARCA Cup and trucks.
Yeah, the trucks. Okay, yeah, you got
ARCA Cup and trucks in Pocono this weekend.
Yep.
Right. We usually pick the Cup drivers because that's what everybody nationally gives a. Really cares about.
Well, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't care who wins, as long as it's not Jeff Gordon. So I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick.
You know what? I have access to the control panel, Wayne, and if all of a sudden you're disconnected, you'll know why. That's all
Kevin,
I have to say.
Who took care of this weekend with Jeff Gordon? I tried to get a picture of his butt, but they wouldn't let me get that close.
You sure did. Thank you for my pictures. Absolutely loved them.
I don't know. You know what? Pocono's a rough track, a hard track to pick. I just go with Kevin because I'd love to see Kevin win because he's my boy. I don't know. Kevin, who's going to take the truck race up there, Kevin?
Most likely in the truck series side, I would actually have to – it's going to be sort of hard to pick that one, but I'd have to probably go with Johnny Salter or Matt Crafton up there.
I agree with that. Arca side is you might as well take everybody's name, throw it up in the air, and you tell
Bobby
me.
Earhart. That's Bobby G's track up there.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. That's his home track.
Yeah. We'll see.
That don't mean anything, though.
I almost have to go with the field favorite. He just come off of a big win this weekend up at Indianapolis.
Yes.
Yes. A small one, Frank Kimmel.
Stand up and salute the flag when you say that, mister. That's right.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's going to be be a contender there.
Yeah.
For my cup pick up there, I would throw a yell out to A.J. Allmendinger, but he ain't going to be there. But
don't you mean to throw a black flag out?
But I would actually say on the Cup side there, the hard hitter, Casey Kane. I believe Casey may surprise everybody at Pocono.
Mm. All right. Now that you pick Casey Kane, I'm forced, because that was my pick for the Cup.
Oh.
So now I'm forced to pick Jeff Gordon.
Oh, wow. Hold on one minute. Let me find
your arm.
My phone there. where am I in this call?
You know what? If there comes a time that I'm not on, then you know what? Y'all just go ahead and you know, pick one for me. It doesn't really matter as long as it's Jeff Gordon.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, what about Iowa?
Iowa. Well, you know, I have to go with my boy. And really would, you know, like to see the number 50 do something, but we're going to go ahead and go with, I honestly think that, you know, Ricky Steinhaus might take this one.
How about Stenhouse?
Exactly.
I call
he's him not
Steinhouse.
Well, you know, he's not an alcohol bottle.
Yeah.
He's not a beer mug.
I'm not talking to you guys no more.
Tammy.
Well, I never got to hear Tammy's pick.
For Pocono?
For Pocono.
There's
yeah,
only
yeah
one
that's right.
That I have yet to see win.
Who?
All right.
Tony.
Spook.
Yeah.
He actually would have won. He would have won, but some stupid idiot wrecked his car today. So he ain't gonna win this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He's not going to be a happy camper this weekend. He picked her as a teammate, so it's all him.
Yeah.
No, he didn't pick her as a teammate.
Like
No. Well, back up for real quick. He didn't pick her as a teammate. He picked her as a percentage of her T-shirt and merchandise sales. That's why he picked her.
That's true.
It's got nothing. He's like, you know what, all these cars we got laying around here? Yeah, we can afford to wreck one about every week. So, yeah, that'll be fine.
I'm trying to look at the board, and Tracy, can you repost that
It looks like he has three, and then it says NA44, unless Crafton brings that 88 back. So I'm really not sure what his pick is. Do you want to elaborate, Tracy, on for that for me? Let's see if he updates that.
We have another pick for Jeff Gordon, too, by the way.
Okay. Well, here's my pick. Don't I get a pick?
Yeah,
you get a pick.
All right. I'm going to have to go with the Blue Goose. Brad Keselowski. He won this race last year. He was running good at Indy. It's the type of track. He did good in the nationwide race by taking the checkers there. I think he fell a little short. The strategy didn't play out for him. He made a couple mistakes in the pits. I'm going to go with Brad K.
There you go.
For ARCA, Tracy picks 88.
The 88
car? Can't be writing all these down, right?
Nationwide race, I'll go with Sadler in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming. He's going to be coming back with a vengeance, and he should
be. With a vengeance.
And the truck series, that's going to be tough. Being everybody's all spread out, you might see a cup guy do that. But I'll go with a long shot. He's had a tough year. I'll go with Hornaday.
Ooh.
Hornaday's good there.
Actually, no, I never give that one a thought. You might have something right there. Yeah.
Hornaday's always been good on the flat track.
That's if the onion don't wreck you.
Right.
All right.
We're
about done, aren't we, Cindy?
Yes, we are. We're at 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
All right, Wayne and Kevin, thank you for coming on the show and giving us that insight. And your picks will be posted on our Facebook page at Garage Talk Live. Pick up a replay. We have. Come on, they'll be posted.
We've kind of lost track.
And
I should do a rundown. Can we do a rundown real quick, Ben?
Rundown of cup wins, a lot easier than running them all. Okay, we have a
Kevin.
You're Gordon.
Tell me
Kevin.
The truck.
Do what?
Your cup
pick. Tell me your truck.
The 88 of Matt Crafton.
Okay. Your cup.
My cup would be Casey Kane.
Nationwide.
Okay.
Nationwide this weekend is going to be yeah, Stenhouse is one there. I would actually. I know you've already picked him. For cup this weekend, I'm gonna have to go with the three car Austin Dillon.
Okay.
Okay. Wayne.
Yes.
Go.
Go where?
truck race.
Cup race is Kevin Harvick. Truck race is going to be you know what? I'm gonna go out on a way out on a limb here. I'm gonna go with one of I'll go with one of Eddie's drivers. We'll go with like Cale. Let's put Cale Gale in his winner's circle this weekend on the trucks. And ARCA, Kevin Swindell.
But it was nationwide.
Yeah, I'm thinking there because I was going to go with the number two because he's coming back with a vengeance. I mean, the 50 is going to lap the entire field, so that's not going to count anyways.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to have to see. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm actually going to go with. I'm gonna take the 54, and I'm saying the 54 because I don't know which Bush is gonna be in it this weekend because they're both gonna have to be in Pocono, so I don't know which one's gonna be out here. I'm assuming Kyle, but I could be wrong because I think they had a little contact last week, and I think there's no love between them right now. So if I had to guess, probably Kyle out here at Iowa.
Okay, Vince.
Me, I went Keselowski. Sadler, and Nationwide, and Hornaday in the truck. Oh, less than a minute. Tammy?
Okay. Tammy, you got yours. It's okay.
Okay.
Tracy, let me just make sure that we've got the number 2 in the Cup, number 12 in the Nationwide, and number 4 and 4, number 44 in ARCA, and Left Crafton brings back the 88. Okay. I think we're good. Tammy's going to go ahead and get all those posted to Garage Talk Live.
All righty.
Marvelous.
Marvelous.
Joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be back Monday next week with Sam Hornish Jr. I will be interviewing him tomorrow for Monday. Tune in to GTL Girls Getting the Facts this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I'm Vince Bonfigli with Cindy Rivera and Tammy Allman. We're signing off saying goodbye and good racing this weekend. See you all next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 I don't want to go. I don't want to go to bed.